Would you go with me, please, to 1 Peter 2? And I'm going to share verses 13 and 16 out of the Passion Translation and 13 to 17 out of the Message Translation, because this is the theme God gave me to tell you this year. So whenever I'm before you, we will more than likely start out with these two readings. Verse 13, beginning of verse 13 in 1 Peter 2, Passion Translation. In order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right. For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. You silence ignorance by doing what's right. The Message Bible says, and it's, again, in the Message Bible, it starts at verse 13. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authority, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. By doing what is good, you'll cure all of that. You'll be the cure for all that misinformation about Christians. God doesn't want us, you know, putting signs up on our marquees with derogatory comments toward those that are in sin. We were where they were at one time. He wants them to know who he really is. And the best way for them to find out who God really is to examine his children. Just look, we were at a soccer game yesterday, soccer tournament. And one player on one of the opposing teams, you know, uttered some profanity at one of the players on our grandson's team. Well, that's not just a reflection on him. That's a reflection on his parents, his family, his surroundings. And it's no different in the kingdom. What we do, quote unquote, in the name of Jesus is a reflection of who Jesus is. And so we have to make sure that we're doing what's right. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking rules. Now listen to this part carefully. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Everyone. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. That's the charge God has for us for this year. Revere him, respect the government. See, it doesn't matter because we're in a new year. Fresh anointings have come our way. And we keep getting stuck on yesterday or last year. It doesn't matter, folks, whether you missed it last year, whether you rebelled against God. None of that matters. You know, you say, well, you know, I should read my Bible more. Okay. You know, I should pray more, or I should start praying altogether. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter now. It's a new season. And you can, and let me tell you something. You ain't the only one. Go to Ecclesiastes 7. And then we're going to go to Romans 3. Ecclesiastes 7 is in the Message Bible. Well, I'm using the Message Bible. Ecclesiastes 7 should be in every Bible. It reads, there's not, listen to this carefully, especially if you've been beating yourself up. There's not one totally good person on earth. Not one who is truly pure and sinless. Not one. Okay. Nudge your neighbor and say, you are not alone. And I know that's Old Testament. I understand that. So let's pop over to where there's a better covenant. In Romans 3, verse 23. Might say something, make us feel a little better. This is the King James Version. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's not about what you did wrong. God has a history in using people who messed up. He has a history of doing that. You don't have to be perfect to be used by God. You don't have to. People, they disqualify themselves from being used by God because they think they have too many flaws. Or something horrible happened to them and they think they're damaged goods. Well, you're wrong on both fronts. I did a little study, because I'm not into jewelry and things like that. But I was reading about, I saw something about diamonds that kind of pricked my interest, so I spent a little time doing a little research on diamonds. And of course, we all know diamonds are very valuable. Very valuable. Okay? And don't go to Deacon Phil and say, is Pastor Carl looking for a diamond for you? You know? Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the reason she was here and I wasn't is Deacon Phyllis was doing some things with the prayer team. I had responsibilities in Pennsylvania. Okay, she's still my wife. We still love each other. And we're still married. We managed to get through these 2 weeks of separation without separation anxiety. Okay. But I found out that no matter how valuable diamonds are, every single diamond has a flaw. Every single diamond has a flaw. Some, the flaw is so minuscule, you need a trained eye and a good magnifying glass to see it, but it's there. If you know how to find it, it's there. Natural technology has come up with a way not to remove flaws, but to mask them. They call it clarity-enhanced diamonds, where there's a procedure where if there's a flaw in this diamond, they can mask it where you don't see the flaw. But they also have something else. They have what's called fake diamonds. Guess what we know them as? Cubic zirconiums. And you know something? They're flawless. Cubic zirconiums have no flaws. They're man-made, and they have only a minuscule fraction of the value of the real thing, even though it's flawed. Why am I telling you this? Some, because of things that they have done or things that have happened to them, they feel flawed and they feel like they have to go man's way to feel better or look better when it's not necessary. Father has said that before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew all about you. And before you came out of your mother's womb, he had holy plans for you. And he knew every flaw you were going to ever have. And when he looks at you, he doesn't see any flaws. Because you have received Christ as your Savior, and you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus, and as far as our Father is concerned, you are flawless. Because when he looks at you, he sees his son. So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what you've gone through. It really doesn't matter what's happened to you or happening with you. It really doesn't matter. You're not damaged goods. You're not flawed. You're fit for battle. You're fit for duty. You need to report. What do they call it, Deacon Tony, when you report to a place for duty? You report. Okay. Don't let the devil cause you to become, this is what he told me during praise and worship. Don't let the devil cause you to become something man-made because you think you're damaged goods, and definitely don't become a cubit zirconium, pretending to be something that you're not. So, and people only do that because they want to hide what's going on with them. They don't want anybody to know. Your father knows, and he'll accept you and use you just the way you are. Romans 8 in the Amplified Bible, the classic edition, verse 1 reads, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So it doesn't matter what you, if you're in Christ and you're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, there's no condemnation. Now, that doesn't say, great, Pastor Greg said we can go out and we could sin this afternoon. Even if you did, there's still no condemnation because you're in Christ Jesus. But you may have to deal with some consequences of your actions. People don't realize that. God may not, you know, God will absolutely forgive you. God will absolutely cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but there's no scripture that says God will prevent you from reaping the consequences of your action. The seed time and harvest principle will still be in operation. You'll just have the grace to go through it, and God will love you through all the bumps and bruises and consequences, okay? He said he's going to be requiring some unique things of all of you. And some may not understand. Others may think it's impossible. And he wants you to know that it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. Doesn't matter. People are going to tell you can't do it. All that matters is you remembering that with God, all things are possible. So I'm going to share something that I found. It's not original, but my friend, Reverend Tony Cook, he has a website, and he puts resources on there, your free resources for everything. And I always go through his free resources for pastors because I like reading some of the things. And I came across an acrostic that was developed by Reverend Jim Mooney. Now, I don't know who Reverend Jim Mooney is, but if he's on Tony Cook's website, he's got to be okay. All right. And he wrote an acrostic called Getting a Fresh Start in the New Year. So I want you to, you know, on your tablet or if you have a notebook, write start, but don't write it horizontally, write it vertically, S-T-A-R-T. Okay, start. Say amen when you've done that. First thing you want to do to get a fresh start is to stop making excuses. Reverend Jim Mooney wrote this now. Okay, so get mad at him. Don't get mad at me. Proverbs 28:13 says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. That's out of the Living Bible. So S means stop making excuses. T take an inventory of your life. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. It's great you want to do something. Are you doing it by faith? Or are you doing it by sight? Are you using the faith of God, or are you using the knowledge you gained through education? Take an inventory of your life. A, act in faith. Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, let it be to you. You ready for R? Refocus. Philippians 3:13. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You have to refocus. We took a picture once. We sent the picture, and the picture was a little fuzzy. The person said, this is a little, you know, you have another one. And we checked. We had another one that was clearer. It was focused a little better. Sometimes how many of you wear glasses other than me? How many of you have had to have your prescription changed? Why'd you have to have it changed? Yeah. You need to be refocused. You sit there and you're like, "Turn. This is way better." What can I do for you today? I need to see. So sometimes we need to refocus. And the T word here, we always need to do trust. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And that's very important to understand, folks, because some people will trust the Lord up to a point. And if it doesn't seem like it's working, then they're going to go with something else that they've learned along the way. I can't seem to get this flaw out of the diamond, so I'll go for a cubit zirconium and have something that's valueless. So if we're going to get a fresh start, take an inventory of your life, act in faith, refocus, and trust. Well, stop making excuses, take an inventory of your life, act in faith, refocus, and trust God. We need to be mindful of people, and I truly believe that most of them have your best interest. They don't want to see you struggling, they don't want to see you get hurt. You know, they want things to be well with you, but they're not where you are. Gary Chapman said, "I am amazed by how many individuals mess up every new day with yesterday." They insist on bringing into today the failures of yesterday. And listen to what happens. In doing so, pollute a potentially wonderful day. It's a new season. It's a new day. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, we just read it, verse 13, he said, "I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future needs." I like this translation because it says, "I fasten my heart to the future." When you fasten, that means you're attached to it. And you go where it takes you. If you don't fasten your heart, you're subject to go another way. But when you fasten your heart to what God said, it will take you where God wants you to go. and you will have great success. Sam, I'm just going to share these quotes, natural people. Nothing will ever be attempted. This gets a lot of us in trouble. Nothing will ever be attempted if all possible objections must first be overcome. Stop trying to figure every detail out of your assignment. Just go. Well, I only know this. Do that. And while you're doing that, the next piece will come. Pastor Ed and I, we're guilty of that one. Because we sit down and talk, and one of us will have it. You know, we'll have something, and then questions. Well, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? What's going to happen with this? When's this going to happen? And it's like, let's just start it. Let's just get it going. Let's just get it done. And trust God that everything will come into place. You know, is it a God thing? Yes. Who has to provide all of the pieces? God. What do you have to do? Start. But nothing will ever be attempted if you're waiting for answers to every question you have before you get started. And stop, because we also get ourselves overwhelmed in all of the possibilities of what God told us. Well, Abraham Lincoln said, the best thing about the future that it comes only one day at a time. You like that one, Baraka? The best thing about the future is it comes one day at a time. That hooks up with Matthew. That hooks up very well with Matthew 6. It said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. One of the things that also hinders us is we go with other people's perception about where we're going. See, God said, go on 127th Street and 8th Avenue and hand out tracts. And you tell your friend, God told me, and you're excited. I'm going there. I'm going to hand out tracts. You don't want to go in that area. Do you know what they're doing over there? They had 3 murders and 2 rapes. And the person's like, oh. What happened? I'm kept in safety wherever I go. It went. Because of what people say. Well, there was a map on display, and I this was so intriguing to me, I did a little research on it. The British Museum in London had an old mariner's chart. It was drawn in 1525, and it was outlining the North American coastline and all of the adjacent bodies of water. Whoever made the map put some intriguing notations on areas of map that represented regions not yet explored. Now, if they're not yet explored, how do you know what's there? Okay. This is what he wrote about some. He wrote, here be giants. On the map, here be giants. Okay. Others, here be fiery scorpions. Another section, here be dragons. Well, eventually, an explorer, Sir John Franklin, came into possession of that map, and he looked at all of those inscriptions, and he crossed them out, and next to every one where it said, here be giants, he crossed it out. Here be fiery scorpions, he crossed it out. Here be dragons, he crossed it out. You know what he wrote? Here is God. He wrote, here is God. If God, wherever God sends you, he's there. He's there. Yeah, all of that other stuff may be, but God is there. And that's all that matters. Most of us know Stephen Covey. He said, live your imaginations, not your history. And then someone said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Want to know what's going to happen? Find out what God wants you to do and do it. And again, I'm going to say this again. before I read these next few, because I was amazed. Stop letting the comments and opinions of other people cause you to abandon the dream that God placed in your heart. Stop letting comments and opinions of people cause you to abandon the dream God has placed in your heart. I am very mindful as to what I share with people. And so is Pastor Ed, when they come to us and they ask us questions. You know, this is what I heard from the Lord. Okay, what do you think? Like, I'm not careful in how to answer you about this. I'm not the one with the person and plan for your life. Neither am I the one who gave you this assignment. So my sincere recommendation, advice, counsel, you go to the one who gave you the assignment and let him explain those details to you. Because I have opinions and I can be opinionated. But I also know I can say something to you that will cause you to miss God because I think I'm giving you good advice when I don't have a clue as to what he said to you. So with that in mind, listen to these are all true life events. The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. That was said in 1876 in a corporate memo from Telegraph Operating Company, Western Union. Charles Duell, who was the commissioner of the United States Patent Office, said in 1899, he said, everything that can be invented has been invented. How many of you drive Fords? Horace Rackham was a lawyer for Ford Motor Company. And he went to Michigan Savings Bank to get them to invest in Ford Motor Company in 1903. The president of the bank said to him, the horse is here to stay, but the automobile is only a novelty, a fad. What would have happened to Mr. Ford had he listened to that instead of what was placed in his heart? The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay a message to be sent to nobody in particular? That's from the Associates of RCA founder David Sarnoff in 1920 when he proposed investing in a young radio industry. You'll like this one. This is Mr. Darrell F. Zanuck in 1946. Television won't be able to hold on to any market it captures after the first 6 months. People will soon get tired of staring at a plywood box every night. I'm telling you, people will cause you to let go of the plan God put in your heart. A Boeing engineer, they make planes. And at this point, they had just had the first flight of the Boeing 247, which was a twin-engine plane that carried 10 people. He said, there will never be a bigger plane built. You're really going to like this next one. This was in Business Week, August 2nd, 1968. And I quote, with over 50 foreign cars already on sale here, the Japanese auto industry isn't likely to carve out a bigger slice of the U.S. market. Here's another one. That's why you go to college, but you need to be, you don't let what those your college professors say cause you to change the plan God gave you for your life. Because they don't know everything. And I'm starting to believe they don't know anything, but they have degrees, so they must know something, right? But this professor had a student who wrote a paper. And the student got a C on this paper because the professor said the idea wasn't feasible. Listen. The concept is interesting and well-formed, but in order to earn better than a C, the idea must be feasible. This comment was written on a paper by Fred Smith, who was proposing an overnight delivery service. In 1970, Smith went on to start Federal Express. God said, go to America, start a Spanish church. The who, what, how, where, when, he works it all out. You just have to go. You just have to go. I'd say, well, there are 56 other Spanish churches in the area. I don't care if they're 10,656. If God said, go do it, you go and do it. Okay? Oh. I don't know if he's still with us, but we need to pray for Brother Ken Olson, president of Digital Equipment Corp in 1977. There's no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. I know this is Sunday worship service, and you expect to hear all scripture. We need to hear some practical things also, okay? Robert, you'll like this one. The kid can't play baseball. Milwaukee Braves minor league manager Tommy Holmes said in 1952, appraising Henry Aaron. Who went on to break Babe Ruth's all-time record for home runs. Any football buffs in here? Say, yeah. Okay. Baltimore Colts owner Robert Irsay was evaluating a future Pro Bowl and Super Bowl champion quarterback named John Elway, and his evaluation was, he'll never be any good. Stop letting people tell you you can't. Did God give it to you? Then you can. A Munich teacher said, you'll never amount to very much. And she was speaking to Albert Einstein. I really like this one. You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck. That was Jim Denny in 1954 after firing Elvis Presley. I know some of the young people saying, who's Elvis Presley? Google him. Well, there's even a better one than that. We don't like their sound. Groups of guitars are on the way out. Who do you think they were turning down? The Beatles. Now, this one, because it's one of my favorite programs. NBC television executive, an NBC television executive said to Gene Roddenberry in 1966, get rid of the pointed ears guy. Star Trek. Want them to get rid of a Spock. Well, they didn't care about Spock. They just didn't want him to have pointed ears. Now, Are you ready for one that may make you go, ouch? I don't hear anything. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. Because this applies to me big time. And if I'm the only one, okay, although I don't believe it. And some heard this because I believe I shared it at healing school. A boy told his father, Dad, if three frogs were sitting on a limb that hung over a pool and one frog decided to jump off into the pool, how many frogs would be left on the limb? The dad replied, two. No, the son replied. There's three frogs. One decides to jump. How many are left? The dad said, oh, I get it. If one decides to jump, the others would too, so there are none left. The boy said, no, Dad. The answer is three. The frog only decided to jump. How many things have we decided to do and never done? Hurts too bad? I have, in our family room, we have a Bowflex Max 5, a Total Gym, a treadmill, an abdominal wheel, leg weights, and little arm things, you know. And I decided that I was going to use them 3 years ago. And every year I decide, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. So you guys think that I'm wearing sweaters because I'm being stylish. No, my jackets don't close. Because I decided I was going to do something about this weight. And I'm still hanging on that branch of do nothing. Too many of us are on that branch where we decide we're going to do something and then we don't let it go. Hey, I got good reason. I got, Doc, because of my knees, it's not good to have all that motion on them. So when they're, I wait till they stop hurting and then I'll get on. Doesn't that make sense? No, it doesn't. No, but the Bowflex Max 4, it requires 14 minutes. It takes probably about 5 or 6 weeks to get into the 14-minute zone. And it tells you that. You may have to work your way up to this. And truth be told, I have the times I'm studying, I look over at it. It's like, hey, Pastor Greg. And I get on it, and I start. It's an elliptical, you know, and I start. And that's it. Oh, I didn't plug it in. See, if you don't plug it in, you don't see where you are. It's okay. So I said, no, I'm going into that zone tonight. So I plug it in, and I get there, and I start, and I see the needle quivering, trying to get up there. After about 1 minute and 15 seconds, okay, that's it. Right, honey, am I telling the truth? Hanging on that limb of do nothing, but I decided we sing a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Are you following him? That means you're doing everything he told you to do. Raise your hand if you're doing every single thing that Jesus told you to do. I have company on the limb of do nothing.
No, it's the branch.
The branch. So we have to, I know you're going to remember this, but we have to get off the limb of do nothing and get on the limb of do something. Otherwise, it will kill our relationship with our Father. It's, look at James 2, and I'm going to take time to read this. In one time, let the snow and ice melt anyway. But in James 2, starting in verse 14, this is in the Message Bible, says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without so much as providing a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, 'Sounds good. You take care of the faith department. I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in gloves. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you've done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith? The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, 'Abraham believed God and was set right with God,' includes his action. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works? The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing what countered, that's what countered with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works and you get the same thing, a corpse. When you're hanging out there on that limb of do nothing, you're turning into a corpse in terms of what you can do for God, because you've taken yourself out of the game. You're no longer available, even though you decided to follow Jesus. But I don't want you to focus on that per se. I want to focus on what God told us we could be doing. First thing he told us, and it's very significant, is in Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV, and I know we all know this, where God said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." God said, "He knows the plans." Not your friend, not your auntie or your uncle-y, you know. God knows the plan. He's the only one that knows the plans that he has for you. And he tells us what type of plans they are. Plans to prosper and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And he told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. And again, we're going to go back to Philippians 3. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I'm going after what made Christ go after me. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Folks, I'm taking my time with this because it's important. You need to understand that, yes, you can do it. Yes, you can. And so I'm going to share something that's very personal to me because it's a word that God gave me the morning I was ordained pastor. And it wasn't in my notes, and sitting down reviewing earlier this morning, he told me, he said, I'm giving it to the congregation also. Jeremiah 1 in the Message Bible, starting with verse 5. God said, before I shaped you in the womb, knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind to you. But I said, hold it, Master God. Look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. And he told me to add some things. Hold it. I'm only a teenager. I'm only a young adult. I'm over 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. Lord, I don't know enough word. God told me, don't say I'm only a boy. God is telling you, stop saying that. And stop thinking that. Then he says, I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. He'll be right there looking after you. Verse 9, God reached out, touched my mouth and said, look, I've just put my words in your mouth, hand delivered. What do you always hear me say after you come and you're so gracious? You tell me how much you appreciated the message and I say, God's words, my voice. Why? Because he put his words in my mouth. He hand delivered them. You will begin to, this isn't the scripture, this is the commentary, because he gave me commentary on some of these verses. You will begin to speak his word in and out of season. You will never again be lost for words because God's promised to hand deliver them to you. So anything anybody says to you, you'll have an answer. And no one can say anything and you'll just be there like, blah, 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 blah. You know, think you're speaking in other tongues. No, God said, I've put my words in your mouth. He said, see what I've done? I've given you a job to do among nations and governments, a red letter day. Pay close attention. Your job is to pull up and tear down, take apart and demolish, and then start over building and planting. This may be an ouch for some of you. God's telling you to let go of your traditions that you've held on to for years, even decades. It's time to let them go and let him do a new thing in and with you. Because this ain't 40 years ago. And what was prevalent in the society 40 years ago ain't there now. It's different. And God, knowing that, had a strategy for it before you were formed in your mother's womb. And he called that strategy you. And now you, we, us, we have to let go of those things that we think this is the only way it can be done and let God move the way he wants to move for this culture that we're in today. God's message came to me, this is verse 11. What do you see, Jeremiah? I said, a walking stick. That's all. And God said, good eyes, I'm sticking with you. I'll make every word I give you come true. God will make sure that when you speak the words he gives you, when you speak the words, say he gives you, he'll make every single one of them come true. Every single one. And he said, I'm sticking with you, so don't ever think that you're ever alone, even if you're by yourself. God said, I'm sticking with you. But you, up on your feet and get dressed for work. Stand up and say your piece. Say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches or I'll pull you from the lineup. That's very significant, folks. God is saying, stop beating around the bush. Stop holding back. Now's the time to let go and give it your all. Give it all you got. And if you don't have enough, he'll give you more. But you have to open the throttle. Full blast. Full bore. Stand at attention while I prepare you for your work. Stop moving all over the place. Stand still and let me prepare you. I'm making you as impregnable as a castle, immovable as a steel post, solid as a concrete block wall. You're a one-man defense system against this culture, against Judah's kings and princes, against the priests and local leaders. They'll fight you, but they won't even scratch you. You don't have to look for or depend on a prayer partner. You can stand against it. You by yourself can stand against its culture that's trying to set the stage for sin to abound. But God is positioning us so that grace will much more abound. We have to let him, we have to move into the position that he plays for us. And you don't have to fear facing this culture, because even though they're going to come against you, God said they won't even scratch you. They won't even scratch you. And I really like this part, because he tells us why that's going to be so. He says, I'll back you up every inch of the way. Every inch of the way, God is backing you up. Put the first picture up for me, please, Dan. God, just put the first one up. Here you see lion cub, and my mother's behind him. And that lion cub doesn't look like he has a care in the world. Well, he doesn't, because let's see the next one. Fear nothing in front of you because of who is behind you. That lion cub fears nothing. This is props to Deacon Tony. He sent this link to me. And I'm like, God can use that. Okay. He had no fear, no cares, because he's backed up every inch of the way by his mother. We're backed up every inch of the way by our Father, God. So he doesn't care about what's in front of him or what may come. And we don't care. Don't care about what may come. Don't care about who may not come. God said, do it. You do it. You do what he said, how he said, and when he said. And it will go well with you. it will go very well with you, but you have to make a choice to go all the way with this. No more hanging on the limb of do nothing. We have to get off the limb so we can do everything. Because you say, well, I can work here from the... Well, you're limited in what you can do. Because if you try and do too much and you're on the limb, guess what will happen to the limb? It'll break and you fall. And while that's not the end of the world, but now it just now you have to take time to recover, you know, and go back to work. Where if you just get to doing what God has called you to do, he will take care of you every inch of the way.